Welcome to the Nintendo Fusion Podcast, a podcast that fuses past, present, and future Nintendo thought. I'm David, accompanied by my friend Jordan. Now, Jordan, what did Zelda tell Link when he couldn't get the door open?
He needs a boss key.
Boss key? That's a pretty good answer. But what she really said to him was Triforce.
Oh.
Like, that one was not so great. I need to gather a better list of these and not just find one off the spot. But yeah, we're going to be talking a little bit about some Zelda stuff today, right? What is the big news, Jordan? Let's just jump into it.
They announced that there's a Zelda movie in the works. The tweet from Miyamoto was definitely a roller coaster of emotions because they announced a new movie. It's like, okay. I mean, Mario was fine. Zelda's a bit more difficult probably to adapt than Mario because like, it's a bit more story focused than Mario is. It's being reproduced by the guy who produced Spider-Verse. Oh, yeah. I really love Spider-Verse. Spider-Verse was a phenomenal movie. It's going to be live action. Oh, well, the Spider-Verse thing doesn't matter anymore.
I mean, to be fair, the producer has also done some of the live action Spider-Man movies from the more recent run as well.
Yeah.
So he has done live action, but yeah.
Such classics as Morbius.
Oh, yeah, that's also on the list. So.
So, I don't know. The main role of the producer is to kind of like bring the team together. I'm a little concerned because like the rest of the team isn't that great either.
Yeah. So Nintendo in a big press release specifically stated, so the film will be produced by Shigeru Miyamoto, representative director and fellow of Nintendo, and Avi Arad, chairman of his production company, which has produced many mega hit films. Okay. Many mega hits. Okay. The film will be produced by Nintendo and that company and directed by Wes Ball. The film will be co-financed by Nintendo and Sony Pictures Entertainment Incorporated, with more than 50% financed by Nintendo. The theatrical distribution of the film will be done worldwide by Sony Pictures Entertainment, Inc. So, the director that they chose is Wes Ball. Jordan, what films is Wes Ball known for?
Some Maze Runner films. I've never heard of these.
Yeah, he did all three Maze Runner films. I actually polled their Rotten Tomatoes scores. The first Maze Runner film is 65% on reviewer scores and 68% for audience scores. The second film was titled Maze Runner: The Scorch Trials. That dropped to 48% reviewers and 54% audience. And then the third film, Maze Runner: The Death Cure, dropped even further in the review scores to 43%, but jumped a little bit up with audience at 58%. And my guess with the slight increase from the audience is because you had the mega fans of the series that stayed with it until the end, and the total number of people watching the film had decreased dramatically.
So I haven't seen these movies, so I don't know how well directed was. Maybe it's fine. Like, these are pretty decent audience scores. At the very least, he made something that the fans enjoyed.
Yeah.
And like, maybe it was like directed phenomenally and written really poorly, or the opposite. We don't know. I have no idea. I've never seen these movies.
I glanced at some of the reviews, especially for the third one, and some of the critics were like, a director couldn't even pull some emotion out of some well-written scenes or something like that. So,
oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, of course, and that I only saw some clips, but
that is
still.
Not. Oh, no.
Maybe it was camera direction or lighting. Maybe the actors did a good job. I don't know. I didn't read the whole article, but still.
He has three movies under his belt. Like, how?
Well, almost four. In, I think, March, Planet of the Apes, whatever the new one's called, comes out and he's directing that one. And the trailer at least looks kind of fun, even though it's like all CGI for every character.
He seems to be the kind of director that just, I don't know, producers like because he's easy to get their way with things, you know.
That might be the exact case. Yeah,
the thing that really concerns me about Nintendo's statement is when they like praise this producer, they're like, and he's been in charge of some mega hit projects, like all they care about is the financials and not like the actual quality of the films,
right? Like, a lot of the Spider-Man movies, the more recent ones, like I've really enjoyed, but the most recent ones that aren't Spider-Verse have really struggled from like the post-Infinity War fallout of Marvel, where it doesn't feel like there's much direction. Like, I think No Way Home was a really fun movie, but like the overall plot falls apart if it weren't for the previous Spider-Man movies kind of carrying a lot of what's happening, right? Like, they bring back villains and characters from past movies, and the movie doesn't really stand on its own. And then, of course, you've got Morbius, which was only like somewhat a financial success because everyone memed on it.
So let's be real. Spider-Man, as much as I love Spider-Man, has not had a good track record of film production. Because he goes all the way back to like the original Spider-Man 2, which Spider-Man 2 is phenomenal. He didn't work on the original Spider-Man, but he was the producer for Spider-Man 3 and the Amazing Spider-Man films and Morbius and Venom. And I guess he also worked on like Iron Man. Iron Man was one of the biggest. Man, it's such a wild, like,
just very up and down from his list.
He just worked on Marvel films, and whether I would say his catalog is way worse. He's produced way more bad films than good films.
Yeah.
Ghost of the Shell. I agree. The original Hulk, the Fantastic Four movies, the worst X-Men movie.
This is Ghost very fun. We're becoming a film critic podcast for a short minute here.
Ah, man. And like, so aside from the Spider-Verse movies, I feel like the other movies that he's done well with were other producers and directors at Marvel and not him.
Yeah, kind of carrying it through. And I had heard this like this comment I saw online stating that when he also helped produce one of the Avengers films, or maybe it was like the Captain America Civil War or something. Either way, one of the big ones that Spider-Man first made his appearance in the MCU, he apparently wanted it to be written as if it were the Avengers featuring Spider-Man, where he's like the main character across the whole thing, specifically so that he could push toy sales. And I don't know if that's true, of course, like huge disclaimer. I'm not claiming that that's absolute fact, but if it is true, it's like, oh, so are we going to be making the Zelda movie specifically for the toys? I know the Mario movie has increased a lot of sales in Mario based toys, but is that going to affect Zelda too? Is that one of the main goals? I don't know.
Yeah, he seems to be, like I was saying, I feel like he's a very, very corporate producer. He's not there to make movies that are good. He's there to like sell a product, which is clearly what Nintendo wants. And as a fan, is not what I want.
I mean, if Nintendo was going to make a beautiful film about Zelda, I think they would stay away from live action and go for a hand animation, following the style of Studio Ghibli or some of the most recent, like, beautiful anime films. Like, I just really think that Zelda fits that whole hand-drawn style better than pretty much any of their other IPs. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I don't know. So, like, my big issue with live action is you're a lot more limited with what you can do. So, like, fantasy in general, like, any kind of fantasy, just it really suffers in live action compared to animation, because you could draw pretty much anything in animation. To make things look real, you have a very limited scope of what you can get done.
Yeah. I mean, there have been really great live action fantasy films. I mean, Lord of the Rings in particular really like brought to life a fantastic world and has become a huge classic. And all three of those films are phenomenal. And, you know, you can sit and debate if The Hobbit was good or not, but
it makes things the original a lot three. More expensive, though. Like, those are expensive movies. So, like, what kind of budget do we expect Zelda to have?
That's a good question. How much money is Nintendo willing to throw at it? Because the Mario movie is at, like, what, $1.5 billion, I think?
Right.
Because Nintendo had their financial thing. Or I guess it's at $1.36 billion. So, I don't know how much of that went to Nintendo. What was the Mario budget?
So, they buy... Well, it was 50-50. I don't know what the budget was.
It was $100 million USD.
Listen, I don't think Nintendo's going to put a lot of money into this. Nintendo is not known to like throw money around very much. They're very fiscally conservative.
Yeah.
I would not expect Lord of the Rings out of this.
Well, Jordan, you have to keep in mind that Fellowship of the Ring back in 2001 had a budget of $93 million.
Yeah,
that's less than Mario. What is that in today's
inflation? That was over 20 years ago.
I'm going to run this math real fast. So in January 2001, if we had, I said 93 million.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 93 million dollars is the same buying power as $163 million today.
Okay.
But that's Fellowship. Oh, and Fellowship and Two Towers and Return all had about the same budget. So interesting. Anyway, Hobbit and Unexpected Journey in 2012 had a budget of $180 million, though.
I think it's going to be more in line with that.
Yeah.
So about
even in today's money,
$200 million to get it to look like The Hobbit. That would cost Nintendo about like $100 million. And if they're expecting this to be $1 billion, maybe they will give the budget. You also have to like account for marketing costs, which are absurd right now.
That's very true.
CGI cost as well.
Yep. And you know they're going to use a lot of CGI because we're in that era.
Yeah.
No more practical effects.
Well, you've seen One Piece, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw One Piece.
So One Piece is doing quite well. And everyone was expecting that to not be good at all, right?
Right.
And they made a decision that I really like. They knew no matter what they did, One Piece is going to look goofy, right? You cannot adapt One Piece to look super realistic. So they kind of just leaned into it and said, all right, we'll just do practical effects. Like practical effects always just look goofy, but people will just appreciate it for being practical. So I don't know. maybe we should just do more practical stuff. I don't know if that would work for Zelda, though.
I don't know. I don't think that Zelda needs to be super serious. I mean, you've only really got like the Moblins and Ganon's forces that look not so human, you know. But like at the same time, you had all of the enemies in Lord of the Rings that were very practical costumes.
Yeah, the original Lord of the Rings was very practical as well. I would love it if they made Legend of Zelda in the same tone as Lord of the Rings with the same like style of practical effects.
Be so cool. And they could even like do really cool aerial shots and go to the mountains like, you know, like Lord of the Rings did. I don't know what kind of version of Hyrule they're going to go for, but I think they could really pull it off. You know, Zelda has always had those Lord of the Rings-ish vibes anyway with its style fantasy.
I think they'll choose the most simple Zelda game to start with. So not Majora's Mask, not Skyward Sword, not Wind Waker. Let's just take those off the list. So
Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, maybe Ocarina of Time. Ocarina of Time. I was actually thinking Link to the Past.
Yeah, that was my second choice.
I think Link to the Past would be the easiest to adapt into a film. Because with Ocarina of Time, you have like all the time shenanigans stuff. And I think they just want to make it as simple of a movie as possible to make it as easily like digestible for the general audience as possible.
Right. And I mean, even if they do the Dark World type thing, like we have in A Link to the Past, that also means they can reuse a lot of their same sets. They just have to kind of modify them and change some colors, right? Like Kakariko Village versus the Dark World's location, the Thief's Hideout, I think. You know, it's not too different, right? Same with the Lost Woods between the different dimensions. I think they could pull that off if they're trying to be more practical on set design. But who knows? Maybe they'll pull a Star Wars and just put all of the actors in front of a gigantic screen and just make the events later, like they're doing in a lot of the Star Wars TV shows right now.
Yeah. I guess Breath of the Wild is also a big contender. That's like the thing that's popular right now. And it's not like it's super complicated either.
No. So if they do go the route of A Link to the Past, what story beats do you think they absolutely have to hit? Because A Link to the Past has a lot of events that need to happen in order to finish that story, right? You have the three Light World dungeons that you go through. Then you have the reveal of who Aghanim really is. And then you go to the Dark World and you have to do, what, 7 dungeons? Do you think a movie could afford to do all of that?
No. No. We have a 2-hour time budget. Like, forget about the budget, like the monetary cost. One of the big problems with like film or movies is that you just do not have a lot of time.
No.
And games are so long compared to films. So you have to really condense things down. It's going to have to be a heavily adapted script, just hitting the main story beats, like you said. The main ones just being the call to adventure.
Yeah, literally the opening to A Link to the Past works perfectly as a call to adventure, right?
Like, yeah, the call to adventure, get the Master Sword, Aghanim's like reveal, and then like Ganondorf's revival, and then defeat.
Yeah, so if we look at like the hero's journey, right? So yeah. Like literally those steps. So, you know, the main thing, like you said, the call to journey, the refusal of call, you know, Link might avoid it at first. Supernatural aid and mentor. We have literally Zelda that can talk to Link in A Link to the Past. And also the, what is it, like the priest or something at the church? Does he help Link at all in A Link to the Past?
I don't remember. It's been a while since I played Link to the Past. I don't think we'll see many dungeons, though. Like,
yeah. Because like you then have Crossing the Threshold, where he goes into the unknown world where he starts his adventure. He'll need to gather some new allies and then go through a road of trials. And the road of trials can literally just be a dungeon or two. Deal with the ordeal. There's the potential for the death of a mentor, then a battle with the brother, then a temptation, then the road back, the refusal to return, the ultimate reward, and then the master of two worlds. Like that's really the main cycle, right, of a hero's journey. I think they could pull that all off in 2 hours with A Link to the Past. It would just be like maybe one or two dungeons instead of all 10.
Yeah, that's right? What I'm thinking. Like you have Hyrule Castle as like that one's locked in at the end. Probably yeah. A Hyrule Castle, because like there's a point where you go through Hyrule Castle and that's when like Aghanim is revealed and all that.
Yeah, so that right, could be the crossing point of the threshold where you like he's like now part of this unknown world and actually has to train up. So maybe we don't see any of the light world dungeons per se. Like we just start where Link has the sword. Maybe he's trained a bit more. I don't know.
I don't think you start with that. I think you do have one dungeon before going to Hyrule Castle. And then you have a dungeon to get the Master Sword and then a dungeon post Master Sword and then the Hyrule Castle.
Okay. I could see that working for
Hyrule Castle 2 times and 3 dungeons, depending on what makes the most narrative sense.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Now, what if they did Breath of the Wild because that's their biggest success right now?
I don't know how you adapt Breath of the Wild into a film.
I think you could. Like, you do have a lot of the points of the hero's journey in the Breath of the Wild's narrative to begin with. You know, Zelda literally is that supernatural aid and mentor. Same with the spirit of the King of Hyrule. And, you know, Link kind of waking up and being all confused. And then you could just go through the 4 divine beasts, meeting some folks along the way. And I think you could squeeze that into 2 hours, ending with the castle. I don't know. It'd be tight, but I think you could.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I do think that
the story structure for Breath of the Wild just, it's so gamified.
Yeah.
It's so specific to the game structure of Breath of the Wild, which is its main purpose. Like it works for the game. I don't know how you get like a cohesive through line because the 4 divine beasts stories, one, are all like pretty repetitive amongst each other. They're very formulaic and they're designed so that you can like go into them randomly at any point. And do it in any order.
Yeah.
In a film, that would feel very jarring, that structure.
Yeah, it would. I agree.
Do you have to do all 4 divine beasts in the movie?
I mean, if they do Breath of the Wild, I feel like they would have to show every race. And so they would have to do the 4 divine beasts.
Yeah, the only reason why they would do Breath of the Wild is because it's popular right now. I don't think
what I was getting at.
I don't think it makes for a good movie.
Yeah.
I think the 2 best ones for a movie would be Ocarina of Time and Link to the Past. Everything else, there's like some context you have to know with the rest of the series, or just has like a wildly different premise than the rest of the series. You want a core Zelda experience.
Right. There's no way they're going to do Wind Waker because they're not going to have it be a pirate movie or a sailing movie.
Well, like, Wind Waker is pretty heavily tied to Ocarina of Time as well.
Right. Like, it doesn't make any sense, like, what's going on unless you watch the cutscene at the beginning and make the connection. Oh, this is the post-Ocarina of Time world after Ganon sealed away and then he escapes. Like,
yeah. They could do an original movie and claim that it's based off of Zelda 1 and Zelda 2. They could do a completely original thing that just makes like references to all the Zelda games, like what they did with Mario.
Yeah. Or hear me out. They could just make the movie based on the cartoon.
The CDI games.
No, like the old Zelda cartoons.
Yeah.
Well, excuse me, princess.
How about
I mean, heck. Even if they have to put that line in the movie, Jordan, even if it's like a super serious one, like, well, excuse me, princess. I think it'd be perfect. Come on.
I feel like with Zelda, so with Mario, it worked well to just do like a wholly original plot because Mario has no plot. Zelda, right, there is like a timeline. Everything is loosely connected as legends that are like mistold throughout generations, right? So there's always like I don't know, plot holes, I guess, conflicting stories between games, but there is like a connection tissue between everything,
right?
I think they definitely are going to want to probably follow the games in some capacity. If you do Ocarina of Time, you have the advantage of being able to then branch off into sequels with Majora's Mask and Wind Waker and Twilight Princess.
Right.
So if they want to.
Or they could do Skyward Sword and then just jump to any point on the timeline, technically.
Oh, no. There's no way to start with Skyward Sword. It's not even like one of the more popular games. And on top, oh man. It doesn't follow like the structure Zelda world. No. I just.
Well, and they're not going to do Twilight Princess because Twilight Princess has its whole like Twilight realm and turning into a wolf. I don't think that fits the adventure theme that Nintendo was probably going to go for with this movie.
Yeah.
So
I mean, Twilight Princess is doable, even as a starting point, but I don't see it happening.
Nope.
That one has more plot to it than Nintendo probably wants to work with in a movie.
Yeah. Exactly.
I would love a Majora's Mask movie. If they just pulled a fast one and just have it to just be Catfell's Tale in Majora's Mask and Link is it in the movie.
That'd be pretty good.
All right, that would be the best thing ever.
Yeah. Oh. So this Zelda movie is actually like a prequel. Link isn't even in it. And it's just, we're actually using this movie to set up the lore of Termina even better. So it's like, all original characters.
Well, what's the guy's name? I think I said it wrong. The blue haired guy who's trying to like become an adult again. Cafe.
Oh yeah, Andrew and
Cafe. Just follow their story through Termina as it's like falling apart, and then it ends with the world getting destroyed by the moon.
And Link shows up. He's just this like mysterious guy that all of a sudden is like, "Here's a mask for you." It's like, oh, okay. That would be like honestly such an emotional film because they could have it be kind of like a Groundhog Day, sort of, not, you know, with so many resets, but where you like actually see the world just collapse. And then all of a sudden we're back at the beginning again. And what would really be interesting to add a little bit more flavor to this is if Cafe, maybe not Anju, has like weird ghostly memories, like not full blown memories like in Groundhog Day, but like he kind of recognizes that things are weird and is like, wait, I think I've done this before. I think, oh, that'd be so creepy and so cool.
I feel like
there's no way they do it.
You can do with side stories in Zelda. I would be a lot more interested in side stories in Zelda than actual Zelda, just translating Zelda stories into film. There's no way they're going to do that because
it doesn't make money.
Yeah. People are going to want to pay to like watch Link kill Ganondorf.
Yep.
We're not going to have like a story that just follows Sheik during the 7-year gap. That would be fun. Or,
oh, that'd be amazing.
Cafe's Quest or The Legend of Gruus. All those would make better films than what's going to end up being made.
Yeah. Well, because those are original stories that are just loosely based off of the original material. And so it's like new frontiers to explore.
I would Whereas, prefer like, that.
Yeah. I mean, the main Zelda plot has been explored in multiple games. You know, pretty much every game has that same formula of Link suddenly realizes he's the hero. He needs to go find the Master Sword or whatever other sword, go through some trials to get a powerful artifact or item, or multiple items, and then goes and fights Ganon. And that's it. Like, that's the main plot of every Zelda game. That's all you need to know. And that's really easy to put into a movie, but it's been done so many times. But at the same time, it might be like a Mario movie situation where you have all these people that have heard of The Legend of Zelda, but have never played the games or haven't played the games in years and years. And so when they go see this movie that is those same story beats that introduces them to the games, and then suddenly Nintendo is making more money off of the games. And that might be the direction Nintendo wants the movie to go in.
Yeah, well, like, yeah, we just keep circling back to it's going to be the most simplified plot Zelda's ever had. Yeah.
Exactly.
Just like hit the core mechanics. It might not, honestly, after this conversation, I think it's just not going to follow any games specifically. It's just going to be the most like generic Zelda story you can think of with a bunch of references to a bunch of the games.
And I really hope that it surprises us and doesn't do that. But considering the success of the Mario movie and how honestly basic its plot was, it's what Nintendo's going to do. They want to appeal broad audiences. They're going to have a billion Easter eggs for the hardcore fans. So just like the Mario movie, people can make the YouTube videos with the clickbait titles that are like 500 Easter eggs you missed in the Zelda movie, and have somebody compose the music and just have it reference the past games over and over again without any sort of consistency in which games they're pulling from. Like, heck, this song's from Skyward Sword, this song's from Ocarina. Oh, what the heck is the Dark World theme from A Link to the Past doing in this emotional scene or something? You know, like, I can't see Nintendo right now making a serious Zelda movie a la Lord of the Rings like we were talking about earlier. It doesn't seem to fit what their ideal is right now for their multimedia venture.
It is also interesting because this is being produced by Sony. And Sony is in the process of trying to make, like, not necessarily a cinematic universe, but they're definitely trying to bring all of their main properties to film right now. This is, it'll be wild if we get the Sony Pictures logo at the beginning where it's like showing Uncharted and Last of Us and Bloodborne in the opening sequence.
That would be ridiculous. And then just Nintendo shows up. It's like, okay, what's going on here? Is Nintendo actually being folded into Sony? Oh, no.
No. To be fair, they did choose like one of the few producers at Sony that hasn't worked on any of the Sony video game movies.
Very true. And according to Miyamoto, he has been talking to that producer for a while about this movie, which makes me wonder if, like, after Nintendo canceled that Netflix show, which, like, I'm 99% sure that was a real thing until it was leaked. If they started seeking out potential people to make a movie instead that could keep a better secret. I don't know.
This definitely kills the idea of a cinematic universe for Nintendo.
Well, and I hope they don't. I'm kind of tired of cinematic universes. Aren't you? Like,
I am.
Marvel really should have stopped with Infinity War. There's no reason for all of these.
Well, in Marvel's defense, what do you do at that point?
That's very true. You have
after
this
Endgame is
world,
done, right? Are you just going to be like, all right, let's pack it up. We're not making movies anymore. Like, you built this giant movie studio that's only ever made Marvel films. Are they going to just start making movies like Forrest Gump next? Like,
no, well, I just think that they could have like adapted other Marvel properties or like continued some of these stories, but without necessarily needing to have every single movie have an end credit scene that's like, oh, there's some crazy big threat that's coming, but we're not going to tell you who it is yet because we need to build up hype for the next 8 years or whatever.
To be fair, that's kind of how they always brought people into their movies.
True.
Let's be real. Most Marvel films do not stand on their own.
No.
Even during like the golden age, I can think of maybe like five that I would go back and rewatch. Aside from
yeah,
like,
the first Avengers Iron films. Man. We're not a movie
Civil
podcast.
War. Civil War. Is so
yeah,
good.
Civil War is good. Civil War was the one that I was going to say next, but you know we're not a movie podcast, but. But kind of tracing that back to Nintendo, I just hope that they make movies and they don't need to have some sort of connective fiber. They're all Nintendo properties. The Nintendo fans already know them through Smash Bros. And I don't think they need to pull a Smash Bros. Movie.
I mean, they'll still do an end credits thing. They did one for Mario.
Yeah, but it was just a Yoshi egg.
Yeah, I still think it would have been better if they had like a Wario and Waluigi Wah. Like
that. Yeah.
Been so or much more fanfare than
they could have done the Yoshi egg with the Wah, and the next movie is literally Mario having to deal with Wario and Waluigi stealing Yoshi eggs.
Yeah, I will say though, if the end credits is like the Skull Kid laugh for this movie,
oh my gosh, I'll freak out. I really will.
Because while I anyway. Expect the first movie to be pretty basic. I feel like they would try to build something interesting for the second film, whether it's the Flood or Skull Kid and Termina.
Or even Twilight Princess with Twilight the whole Princess. Realm of Twilight and Midna.
So maybe what they'll really just do is just kind of have like a loose connection to the games where they're never like adapting a game one to one. They just take like bits and pieces that fit for what they need.
I can accept that. That's fine by me. But yeah, I mean, I just hope they don't mess this up. I don't think they will because Nintendo has like a 50% stake in producing it. And we know from interviews with Illumination that Nintendo really stepped in all the time to make sure that the Mario movie like worked, right? And followed their vision. So I can trust a bit more in Nintendo's vision rather than like a producer that might just be in it for the toys or the video game sales. So I'm hopeful that Nintendo is actually like listening to fans or like trying to appease them. And I give Nintendo that credit simply because Nintendo has been doing that a lot in the last few years with like some of these remakes and return to series. Like the biggest love letter I can think of from Nintendo to fans is the Paper Mario 1000 Year Door remake. And the remastered version of like Metroid Prime, right? And heck, the return to 2D Mario being really fun with Wonder and a new WarioWare, like it just feels like they're hitting the right notes right now. And I think that that's enough for me to give Nintendo like my trust to make sure that the movie is at least enjoyable. I don't know. You might think completely differently.
I think it's going to be a coin flip.
Okay.
I don't doubt that Nintendo will have like a heavy influence on the film. I just think that Nintendo hasn't really had much experience with live action. So it might just not matter.
Yeah, that's very true.
Like it's transitioning from video games to animation is a lot easier than transitioning from video games to live action.
Well, yeah, because Nintendo even had like an internal studio that made those Pikmin shorts that were really good.
Yeah. Well, like you have an animation department in your video games.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, you have a better understanding of how this works. I don't know. I don't know. I was very skeptical with One Piece, though, and One Piece ended up doing really well. I think it was good. I have a lot of issues with One Piece, the Netflix adaptation, but those issues, they did a really good job at making it digestible for a general audience, which I think is like nothing short of a miracle.
Oh, yeah. No, I know lots of people that were not into One Piece that have watched the Netflix show and really enjoyed it.
Yeah, like One Piece is a very difficult series to translate to something that is digestible for a general audience, I feel like. As much as I loved One Piece. They also managed to do it with like one of the most boring sagas in the entire series too.
Yeah, the beginning of the show is very much a setup for everything, and it's really slow. And they pulled it off. Yeah. Like, oh, can you imagine what Water 7's going to be like in live action? I think they'll do a great job with that.
Well,
one.
And
Marineford, yeah.
All the interviews they have for One Piece, like Water 7 is like their goal. Like, they, they know that Water 7 is where things will like pop off.
Right. And that's honestly where I tell people to try to get to if they're starting One Piece for the first time. I'm like, if you can get to at least the halfway point of Water 7 and you're not convinced, then yeah, it's definitely not for you. And of course, that's a lot of episodes, but that's really where I was like, I love this show. So
you just got to go to people and tell them, listen, all you have to do is read 400 chapters of One Piece before you're allowed to have an opinion.
That's exactly right.
Until you hit the 400th chapter, you have no idea what you're talking about. You don't know what you're missing.
The first 400 chapters are Oda just like warming up to being a mangaka, right?
Like, I mean, like, it's still good. The first three sagas of One Piece are good. Alabaster's phenomenal, honestly. For a shonen. But like, Water 7 is something else. Like, Water 7 is where it, like, it took One Piece from being like a great series to like the epic of our generation.
Yeah, literally. So if One Piece can pull it off in live action with Netflix, I think that Nintendo can pull it off as well. But again, like we said early on, I am still so nervous about the people that are heading the project. The only one I trust right now is Miyamoto. And even then, Miyamoto doesn't have the best track record when it comes to even some of his own projects. You know, like, he's made some mistakes here and there. Yeah. So
all these choices just scream that they just chose people that are capable of making a lot of money through the film industry.
Yeah.
The writer is he writes for the Jurassic World series.
Yep.
Which I hate those movies. Jurassic Same. Park, the original Jurassic Park, is my favorite movie ever made.
And I
cannot stand any Jurassic Park movie that came after it.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
I just feel like every Jurassic Park film has completely missed the point.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's going to be a big, dumb blockbuster. Don't expect Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings was made by, like, Percy Jackson was just a huge fan of Lord of the Rings. Like, it was a fan project, basically. Yeah, a fan project was that was given way too much money. The Hobbit movies were the producers trying to force them to get more money out of the goose.
And to make a trilogy out of a single book that's shorter than any of the other three.
These producers and directors, I don't think they understand Zelda.
They probably don't.
And I don't think they will try. I think they're just going to try and make the most digestible film to extract the most amount of money possible.
Yeah, I agree. But we'll have to wait and see. Hopefully we'll get a trailer in the next 3 years and we'll bring it back up then. Or maybe we'll talk about it when they release the casting choices or something like that.
Yeah. Chris Pratt as Link. I was about to say Zelda.
That would be worse. Chris Pratt as himself as Zelda. Hey, if they give us Jack Black as Tingle, I'll be okay with that.
All right, I'd watch Jack Black as Tingle.
Oh yeah, he could get his own movie as Tingle and I'd be happy. Well, anyway, we'll hope and pray that things that good things are in store for the Zelda movie. And who knows, maybe it'll be awesome, but there's a really good chance that it won't be. But we also kind of said the same thing about the Mario movie, and the Mario movie was at least enjoyable. So,
yeah, I still think it would have been better if they got a better studio, though.
Yeah. If it wasn't Illumination,
sure. It still had Illumination, like, DNA.
Written all over it, yeah.
Yeah.
The art style, the coloring, yeah.
I would have loved something with a bit more of an artistic style to it, but something like Spider-Verse. Man, I cannot praise Spider-Verse enough.
Those
movies are so good.
They're incredible. And I'm so excited for the next one to come out in, another year and a half, I think, was their goal.
So I think it got delayed a bit, but.
Well, whatever. I waited for this current one and it was worth it.
I want them to take their time. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
We're never going to get another movie series like this.
No, we're not.
The last Spider-Verse movie is gonna be the last one of the trilogy, and then we'll never see anything like it again.
Well, and then have you seen the previews for Disney's new movie Wish?
I have not.
Oh, it looks awful. Like, they're trying to do a 3D animated film that is kind of rendered into 2D, so it almost looks hand-drawn, but it's like, it's falling so flat, and the colors are bad. And the villain song, they released it, and it sounds like AI wrote the lyrics. There's one part where he says, I let you live here for free, and I don't even charge you rent. Like, that's the same thing twice. He said the same thing. Anyway, so, I mean, Disney's trying to copy the style, and nothing's going to ever beat Spider-Verse unless the same studio and same people make another movie that's just as awesome. But we'll have to see. Anyway, here's hoping for the Zelda movie. Please be good. Please be like Lord of the Rings and blow us all away, even though you won't be. Right. All right. Well, is there anything else to talk about, Jordan?
I think I'm good.
All right. I mean, there was news about the Steam Deck OLED that we could talk about, but we've talked a lot about the Zelda movie, and I think that that kind of covers our thoughts. Maybe as we get more information about the Switch, we can bring up how maybe it's not the best value compared to the Steam Deck and how they're even upgrading the internals, right? And the OLED Switch. Like,
if I'm Nintendo, I'm sweating bullets right now.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing Nintendo's got going for them is that the starting point is probably going to be a lot less than $550.
Yeah, like... A $400 Steam Deck has 250 gigabytes. They better have 250 gigabytes in the Switch 2.
Oh, they, yeah. Oh, yeah, I didn't even see that they price dropped the original Steam Deck. But, like, even the OLED deck has way better internals. Like, they're changing their APU from a 7-nanometer to a 6-nanometer, so it's going to be faster and more energy efficient. Like, it's going to be nuts.
Yeah, they added, what, 3 hours of battery life or something like that?
Yeah, on average, I mean, maximum, they added about 4 hours. So I'd say on average, yeah, about three. So, oh, yeah, if I was Nintendo, I'd also be sweating bullets.
Yeah, the big issue is the price.
Yeah,
I feel like, because I do not think Nintendo can release the Switch 2 for more than 300.
No, or I'd say 350. But considering the Steam Deck is now 400, Nintendo is that it's going to be hard. That's for sure. Unless the Switch has some really great stuff on the inside, and they'll also have their own software. But I guess a really good topic for the future, especially as we get closer to Switch 2, is comparing it to some of these other game decks. Because I think Lenovo and a couple of other companies even have their own copy of the Steam Deck for different pricing. So that might be an interesting episode.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I just kind of wanted to bring that up since the OLED came out, or is coming out very soon and was announced. So. Well, anyway, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Nintendo Fusion podcast. We sure appreciate you listening and are grateful that you listened to us rant about the Zelda movie and our thoughts and our worries and our dreams and all that. If you liked the episode, please be sure to leave us a like or a review or a comment on whatever platform you're listening to us on. Doing so will help the show reach other folks. And feel free to join our Discord by going to nintendofusion.com/discord and you'll be sent right to us. But with all that said, thanks again for listening to the Nintendo Fusion podcast, and we'll catch you on the next one. Bye-bye.
See ya.